Hello, Christina. This is Brother Michael. God bless you, sister, in Jesus' name. I had just a few minutes while I'm finishing up on the prayer trail here, and I listened to your message this morning. And I am so happy for you, and I praise the Lord God Almighty that you responded in the humility that you did to take issue to the Father, what I had said to you in that recording, and you cut the man off. Oh, I just pray in Jesus' name that you stay that way and you be on guard, because remember the lesson of Peter. I'm sorry, the lesson of Jesus in Matthew 4, that Satan left to return again at an opportune time. So keep your guard up, and it may look like you have gotten a total victory, and you may find yourself surprised. So be really careful and make sure that you wait upon the Lord and you stay very vigilant in this area. And just remember, you've just made a huge step. This is a huge step that you've made in really surrendering to the Lord and getting yourself free. And there'll be many other testings. And right now it sounds like the Lord is testing you in the area of finances. And so now you're going to need to remember those wonderful teachings of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6, where he tells all of us as believers, do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. The pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So now you have to just rest in the fact that I was young and now I was old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. You see this? You have to cling to the basic principles of faith that are in Scripture. There's words in that Bible for you to anchor in as a promise. And you trust the Lord and you hold him to his promises. Lord, your word says, and then he may test you on it for a while. There's no doubt you've had a struggle in the area of finances and he's touching you there with some disappointment regarding your nursing situation, and let him have his way. Throw yourself at his mercy. Make your needs known only to the Lord. And you watch and see how that God can act in your behalf. It's one of the greatest lessons that the Lord ever taught me partly through Charles Stanley and partly through experience, that, you know, if you wait upon God and you cry out to him alone, when he acts, you know that it's of him. You have no assurance if you go start telling people, I have this need and I have that. Cry out to the living God. Cry out to the living God. It's like what Madame Guillot said. She says, which of you does not know how to beg relief and tell your malady? But then why do you go and tell it to creatures of flesh who can offer you nothing but a moment's consolation, but rather go to the one who is the all-sufficient one, the source of all things. And at once you will find yourself having no need to ever again go cry out to, you know, basically helpless creatures. Isaiah 2:22, stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? You know, God uses men. He used your brother, he used their parents, etc. But you cry out to the living God, and now you remember what he did. Can he not help you if he helped you just then with the $1,100? Can he not help you going forward? This is exactly the way we live. We see God, you know, how a huge need comes up, and we trust the Lord. God, we have this need. We need you to provide. And sure enough, here it comes. Here it comes. You know, and we will see the Lord do in accord to his will over and over again. He provides. He is not going to forsake you, but he surely will test you, and he's surely growing you up. And you're remembering that this whole life is about learning to grow in the character of Christ, and it's suffering and it's difficult, and you're going to get by sometimes by on the skin of your teeth. Just throw yourself at his mercy. This is the way I used to do. Lord, if you want that insurance to be canceled on Friday, God, so be it. Your will be done. But Lord, otherwise, you're going to have to send a miracle, and I am not going to tell anybody. You've probably heard all these stories before. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell my parents. I could so easily just say, hey, you know, Mom, my insurance is going to be canceled. My mom would have immediately, oh, here, take this. Oh, let me put the money into your account. Nope. 3 days later, whatever it was, it's been so long ago. I don't even remember. It's like 10 years ago. And it's like 3 days later, here come $100 donation out of nowhere. I'm very early in the early stages of the ministry. And I'm just amazed. I mean, I'm looking at this and it's like God says, see, you trust in me. And then it would be just shortly after that. Actually, no. That would have been probably 2014, now that I think about it. That would have been 2014. That was the year after the Lord had told me, set down the tent making business, if you will, and trust him to provide my finances. And then he tested me several times to get me to that place where I could see, oh, wow, Lord is going to provide for me. He is going to do exactly as his word says. He has never failed me. Oh, my goodness gracious. He allowed me to look like it was going to be terrible. He allowed me to go, you know, you've heard all my stories. I've been homeless. I went, you know, for a year and some change without a cell phone. I didn't have the money to have a cell phone. I went 90 days without even having $38 to pay for a driver's license. I got behind on child support. 2 years, I couldn't make a full solid payment on child support. You've heard it all. So just follow my example that he may let you suffer, but he's not going to leave you for dead. He will rescue you in famine and keep you alive in famine, and he will rescue you from death. He will. He will. He will do it. And all that just humble. Oh my goodness gracious. You and I have no idea. Usually, sister, how bad other Christians have suffered. I mean, when you read the book, The Heavenly Man by Brother Yun, and you see how much that man's wife and their children suffered. You wouldn't believe. I mean, extreme poverty. Barely having enough food to put in the mouths of the children. And sometimes God is pleased to allow that kind of stuff to happen. He really is for the testing. And, you know, you can imagine how much he tested the servant of the Lord in that he's doing what the Lord's asking him. And the Lord's barely taking care of his family. And he's going to go, whoa, 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 God, this is not right. You know, this is difficult. I can understand you making me suffer, but making, you know, my wife and child suffer. This is the ways of the Lord. He's constantly teaching us total dependence upon us. He's constantly allowing us to just barely get by. This is not our home to teach total dependence upon him. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace who called you to himself will again make you strong, firm, and steadfast. There's no way of getting around it. There's no way of getting around it. I'll never forget Kisses by Katie. I've told the story about that book where her dad says, nope, you're not going to Uganda. You know, she's 18 years old. She says, Dad, I have to. And then she comes back and she knows that she needs to go for at least a year. And her dad says, nope, you're not going to do this. This is crazy. She goes. And when she gets there, her heart bleeds over all these kindergartners that have no place to go. And she takes the debt upon herself and she ends up accruing $75,000 in debt because she can't say no to these kids who walk to go to school. And then they start having needs and she starts trying to take on more debt to try to help them and all that. And she's just completely worn out. She just doesn't know what to do. She can't say no to it. And she comes back to the States and her dad's like, see, I told you, you don't have any idea how serious this is. This is terrible. They have her come speak one weekend at the church just to tell a little bit about her experience. By the time she leaves that day, she not only has the $75,000 in debt that she owed to the school, but she has the entire paid in advance amount for the following year's supply. And I saw an interview with her years and years ago. And she said, you know, how did you get this kind of faith to trust the Lord like this where you struggle so much with finances and it's just kind of so scary? And she said, you know something? In the beginning, it's very scary. She says, but when you see God come through for you over and over and over again, she said, you just don't worry. Sister, that's where I'm at. There is no better place to be in the world than the safe arms of God. I was able to tell Lisa a lot of things. And one of the things I told her is I said, sweetheart, you will never see either one of us ever worry about money. I said, for 8 years, God has never once failed me. Oh, there was all those times I didn't have what I wanted. I always had what I needed. He's never failed me, ever. And that's the same father you have. Trust him. Trust him, sister. Trust him. Cry out to the living God. Put yourself at his mercy. Lord, I believe I'm in the situation I'm in right now because that's where you have me. If you wanted me to have money right now, I would have it. Lord, instead, I have only you and my desperation. I'd like to change it in, Father, for some much needed finances. And I'm asking you to help me and watch him act in your behalf and watch him test you and be very careful about taking matters. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to be made a fool. Be willing to go without. Be willing to miss a day of food if you have to. God may test you. Psalm 105, 19, until the word of the Lord came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him, Joseph. A lot of years he was tested. Where is this coming word? Where is this promise? Let him test you. I always say, throw yourself at his mercy. God, this is me. You bought me at a price. Do with me as you see fit. If you want me to suffer, if you want me to look like a fool in front of other people, if you want me to stand here in this airport, if you want me to do whatever all over the years, Lord, I'm yours. Do as you see fit. You get to that place. That's called meekness, where you truly prefer God's will over yours. Your will is, I need the engine fixed. I need a job. I need finances. Well, what if that's not the Lord's will right now? What if the Lord's will is surgery in the heart, spiritual blessings that you cannot see, an inheritance that is reserved for you in heaven, which cannot spoil or fade or be taken away? You have to allow the Lord to have his will. And sometimes he uses those things that are so important to us to touch us, to get to those deep places that you don't even know exist. It's this, the same process I see repeating over and over and over and over all these years. God will bring me to a place of desperation, and then he delivers me and lifts me up. And sometimes you just have to, you get to that place where you just throw yourself at the mercy of the Lord. That's what I call it. I just say, Father, I'm at your mercy. Do with me as you see fit. If you want me to die, I'll die. If you want me to starve, I'll starve. If you want me to be single, I'll single. Lord, let him have his way. Yeah, if your brother Yoon, you're saying, Lord, if you want this man to put this electric baton in my mouth and make it feel like somebody just put 1,000 knives in my heart, so be it. You get to a place where you totally surrender to God's will. Will, Lord, be done. Your will be done. And that's meekness. The meek shall inherit the earth. And you constantly, you're going to have the flesh. You're going to wake up with the flesh tomorrow going, I need the money. I need this. I need to worry about this. Give it back to the Lord. Now, if for some reason you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, then you'll suffer the consequences, but the Lord will be merciful to you. He'll correct you and exchange you and change your route and stuff like that. But you know, these are things that I've been saying forever. It's the same old message that you see in my life happening over and over and over again. These fundamentals of following God, of trusting God, of being, you know, humble enough to admit that you cannot, faithful enough to believe and know that he can, and patient enough to wait until he does. These three fundamentals, it's just a repetition over and over again. And the testings get more difficult. The times of waiting get longer, and God touches deeper and deeper. And just when you think that you're there and you really have gotten some growth, God goes, oh boy, we got more to go. There's deeper. And it's, you end up being blessed of it. You end up going, wow, I had no idea that was in there. Wow, I had no idea that God was going to show me this revelation and insight. And so the Lord is always after the internal. We're always after the external. We're always looking at the money, the finances, the need, the relationship issue, the clothes, the gym, the house, the whatever it is we're looking at. God is looking at the internal. He's always looking to touch and to conform the internal. And he uses these external things that we want so much, like money, to touch us. And I praise the Lord. He has not used money to touch me in a lot of years. Not that he wouldn't ever again, but he doesn't touch me very much. It was the closest thing to it is what happened with the tiny house. I think I had one difficult day and I said, Lord, your will be done. If you want to take all my money, if you want to strip me down into nothing, so be it. I just threw myself at the Lord's mercy because I said, money is not going to be my master. I'm not going to serve money. I'm not going to trust in the money. Money is not going to be my master. And I'm one of those guys. It's so bizarre. I have less money and more money than anybody I know. I have less money practically all throughout my life. I've had just enough to pay for what I need to pay for. I don't have any big savings account. Never have. I don't believe in it. That's just me. I don't say that you don't. I'm just saying for me, it's just not the way the Lord has dealt with me. It's like George Mueller. He never had a savings account, never had a retirement plan. And he had like a couple of shekels basically in his wallet when he's 90 something years old. It was all the money he had in the whole world. And yet this guy had hundreds of millions of pounds come through his hands from God's faithfulness to ministers and to the orphans. But it's just a little different. So my example is not, I'm not telling you to follow my example on this. But what I'm telling you is that I'm also the richest person I know because at a moment's notice, God can give me whatever it is I need. I am sure you obviously have heard the story about the $44,000. I've never even come close to having a donation that big in the ministry. And, you know, it came 5 days after we prayed for it. It's because the need was that size. And so God's checkbook was that size. He's that powerful. Sister, I could go on and on about this, but I've done it for years and you've heard all the recordings. Just want you to know he's the same God. The principles are still the same and there's no substitute for time under tension in the Christian life. God is going to test you. He's always going to test you. Wherever it is that you need to be touched, he'll touch you. And there's nothing, as Lisa just recently said, there's nothing more painful in the Christian life than waiting on God. Nothing. It is exceedingly difficult because it goes against the grain of everything that is in your nature. Your nature says now, Your nature says this is a big deal. Your nature says you don't understand how this feels. Your nature says I got to have that bill. I got to pay this. I got to eat. I got to do this. And God goes, oh, I got to something else different. And I'm going to use that what thing you got to have. I'm going to use that and I'm going to touch the thing that I got to have, which is deep. And in between, you know, your perceived need of that, I got to have it, and his, I'm going to get it, is a period of time. And oh man, is that difficult. That is a very difficult thing in the Christian life. But I promise you, you'll know if you throw yourself at his mercy and you say, Father, and you just wait, and you may have to suffer for a little while. You may have to suffer for a little while. Just throw yourself at his mercy. He's a good God. It's like there's a time when David has sinned and he takes the census, and the Satan incites him to take a census of Israel. And it's basically numbering his strong men. And it's like he's trusting in himself, and God comes to him. And even though he basically enticed David into doing this because he wanted to punish Israel. If you really look at the story, Israel's being very disobedient. So he basically leads David into a temptation that causes him to sin by Satan. Chronicles says Satan, I believe, and which means that came from God, because nothing comes from Satan that can't come from God. And he says, you know, God says, pick your punishment. Michael commentary. So this teaching comes from 2 Samuel 24:1 and 1 Chronicles 21:1, where 1 Chronicles says that it was Satan who rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. And then in 2 Samuel 24:1, it says, again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, go and take a census of Israel. So the story I'm now telling her comes from 2 Samuel 24, starting in verse 11. After this census is taken, it says, before David got up the next morning, the word of the Lord had come to Gad, the prophet, David's seer. Go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I am giving you three options. So God is allowing David to choose his punishment. I find this to be remarkable. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you. Verse 13, so Gad went to David and said to him, shall there come upon you 3 years of famine in your land, or 3 months of fleeing from your enemies while they pursue you, or 3 days of plague in your land? Now then, think it over and decide how I should answer the one who sent me. Wow, I just can't even begin to imagine. Try to put yourself in David's shoes here. This would have been very distressing, very remarkable, an indescribable experience. Verse 14, David said to Gad, I am in deep distress. There we go. Imagine it. He would truly have been in deep distress. He says, let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. There's where I'm getting this teaching that I'm speaking to this sister Christine about. It's about throwing yourself at the mercy of God. David says, for his mercy is great, but do not let me fall into the hands of men. So clearly, David is choosing, Lord, send the 3 days of plague, which can't be sent by men. Send that rather than the 3 months of fleeing from our enemies. He's trusting himself to the mercy of God. He does not trust himself to the hands of men. Verse 15, so the Lord sent a plague on Israel from that morning until the end of the time designated, which would be the 3 days, and 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. When the angel stretched out his hand to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord was grieved because of the calamity and said to the angel who was afflicting the people, enough, withdraw your hand. The angel of the Lord was then at the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. When David saw the angel who was striking down the people, he said to the Lord, quote, I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? Let your hand fall upon me and my family. End of commentary. And David says, oh, that the hand of the Lord is merciful. Please don't let me be turned over to my enemies. Perhaps the Lord will be merciful to me and I'll put myself in his hands. And, you know, God puts himself, he puts himself in God's hands. He just throws himself at God's mercy. And the Lord kills, like, I don't know, 70 or 80,000 people in 3 days. But David chose that punishment to be done with. He saw that the compassion of the Lord, and it's so true. The Lord's compassion is aroused. Even when you've done something wrong, when he sees that you're suffering under it, his compassion is aroused and he will liberate you from it. Sister, I have to run. May the Lord God Almighty and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to bless and keep you in his grace. Just keep doing and you will keep seeing. God bless you in Jesus' name.